It's April 17th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got three briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First up, it has been a week of protests in the United States. Yesterday, we had a group of illegal aliens in New York City protesting. On Monday, it was a group of leftists all throughout the country who were shutting down airports, roads, and bridges. We will cover it all, plus why they were protesting. Second, some sobering news out of Washington, D.C., a report that the government of China is subsidizing and facilitating the deaths of Americans through the sale of fentanyl. That news coming up. Third, you may want to grab your maps this morning because we've got a big global roundup of news to discuss. We've got some Chinese spies in the Philippines, a Middle East climate disaster, some European censorship, and later, a listener question today about a viral outbreak of monkeypox in the Congo. But don't worry, the news isn't too bad. But before we get to that, let's get to our top stories of the morning. It has been a week of protests all throughout the United States, and gosh, it's only Wednesday. They began in earnest, though, on Monday, with thousands of protesters all around the country blocking roads, highways, and bridges from New York to Oregon, from Florida to California. Also affected were major airports in Chicago and Seattle, plus companies in places like St. Louis, Missouri. And all were targeted for one reason, and that is the war in Gaza. Pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian agitators caused nationwide chaos because they continued to claim that the United States government is funding a genocide in the Gaza Strip, either with their direct cash support of Israel or some weapon systems that are obviously provided to the Israeli military. As one protester said in Chicago, quote, "Enough is enough. The U.S. government has given us no choice but to disrupt business as usual," end quote. Well, indeed they did on Monday. Drivers were blocked for hours on major roads and interstates in places like Chicago trying to get to the airport there. We also have reports that ambulances were unable to take the sick and the dying to hospitals in some places in this country. Also, we have reports that police officers from Miami, San Francisco to New York were unable to respond to calls or were, of course, reporting things like crime or asking for help. And speaking of New York, Muslim and Arab protesters there screamed death to America at their protest. They also burned the U.S. and Israeli flag, and they waved either the flag of Hamas or other Hamas paraphernalia. The protests, by the way, were organized by a bunch of different radical leftist and Muslim groups. One is called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, or USCPR. It is made up of mostly Arab and Muslim people on the left, both in the U.S. and abroad. For listeners, by the way, who've been asking me, these groups are very well funded, with the USCPR funded by individual donors and U.S. foundations with about $1.3 million in revenue each year. That group, plus a lot of others, plan to put those dollars to use. Folks at USCPR, for example, they have a protest slated for later today in Beaverton, Oregon, and another one in Bakersfield, California, later this week. Now, for what it's worth, dozens to hundreds of these radical Hamas and Palestinian supporters have been arrested all throughout this country, certainly on Monday. Some remain in jail, but for the most part, they have been released, freed through some attorneys that were provided to them by leftist groups associated with the Democrat financier George Soros or the Radical Tides Foundation. So that was all on Monday, with extremist leftist and Muslim groups shutting down parts of this country over the war in Gaza. And then yesterday, on Tuesday, we had another round of leftist-inspired protests. These were in New York City, made up of some recently arrived illegal aliens. And they had two demands. First, they wanted better housing and some really nice hotels, please. They said they were tired of living in those migrant centers. Second, they said they also want access to jobs. So those demands were made by over 1,000 illegal aliens who descended on City Hall in New York yesterday to achieve their goals. But I should tell you, it wasn't for all illegals, just black illegals. And that's because some city council members were discussing at a meeting that yesterday afternoon how city leaders, quote, can uproot anti-blackness that plagues our systems of migrant care, end quote. And that is why over 1,000 illegals from Africa showed up to help agitate for their rights, they said, to things like free food, better hotel rooms, and so on. In fact, one of the illegals from Africa, I believe from the country of Mauritania, said this, quote, "I'm very upset about how I'm treated in New York because I was not thinking it would be this way. A lack of shelter, lack of many things," end quote. Well, for what it's worth, New York City's Democrats are actually in agreement with that illegal. Mr. Brad Lander, who is the city's comptroller, he wrote on Twitter yesterday that black illegal aliens are harmed by the city and that, quote, "We need equity and anti-racism in everything we do," end quote. Well, with those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. Folks, on today's episode, you are going to see a theme, I think. In short, ladies and gentlemen, you all are living through a cultural and political revolution, and you will see that in this country and abroad. It is a Marxist or a communist revolution, and their goal here and abroad, it's pretty straightforward. Here, they want to build a socialist utopia in this country, but obviously to build the new, they have to destroy the old. They have to destroy the old America that's already here, and if necessary, people like you. And they will destroy through things like protests, sometimes violent, or through agitating illegal aliens in places like New York City to tell them, don't be grateful, rather expect or demand services. They are your rights, despite, by the way, giving this nation nothing. Ultimately, what ends up happening with a lot of these illegals is they become angry foot soldiers, I think, who ultimately think that they are owed rather than that they need to owe something to the country. And that is true in every communist or Marxist revolution, agitating the workers or the working class. So that is the bad news. The good news, and there is some, is that if you think that this is wrong or this is evil, this communist revolution or Marxist revolution, there is still time to organize and fight back. As ever, that starts locally with taking control of mayorships or city councils and school boards. And that's good news because you can do something about those things. Because ladies and gentlemen, this is only going to get worse. But as ever, if we get started today and now with our friends and family through our churches and bowling leagues and the rest, we can start to take this country back one city at a time. More to come. Next up, and speaking of Marxism and revolutions, we got a sobering report from Congress yesterday about China. They are subsidizing and facilitating the deaths of Americans through the sale of fentanyl. A bipartisan panel in the U.S. House of Representatives found that the Communist Party of China continues to subsidize the creation of fentanyl precursor chemicals. Some of those chemicals actually have no known legal use other than to simply cause harm. And because China is financially subsidizing the manufacturing of those kinds of chemicals, they're really cheap, about 13% at least less expensive than other global competitors. And that is allowing for more of that Chinese stuff to be sold abroad, to include cartels and drug dealers all around the world, especially in Mexico. As the House chair of the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party said yesterday, the goal of Beijing's fentanyl program is to disease, drug, and kill as many Americans as possible. That is what the intel shows. Quote, they want the chaos and the devastation that has resulted from this fentanyl epidemic, end quote. And as folks know, they have been quite successful in that. Drug overdoses, especially from fentanyl, are the number one cause of death for Americans under the age of 45. For what it's worth, President Xi of China has promised that he would work more closely with President Biden to solve this crisis. He, in fact, promised that back in November. But as this report told us yesterday, Mr. Xi's promise has not been followed up with action. And with those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. Folks, in past briefs, I have argued that we need to take a much harder, tougher line with China, and that would include some pretty serious, pretty intense solutions, like ejecting every single Chinese citizen or visa holder from the United States. As you know, that is because the FBI and national law enforcement are just utterly overwhelmed with the magnitude of the Chinese threat, from spies, saboteurs, cyber hackers, their mafia members, and yes, the Chinese citizens who otherwise facilitate this trade of fentanyl to murder us. So I offer this again, ladies and gentlemen. We need to remove every single Chinese citizen from this country or every visa holder. It is not an easy solution or a fun solution, but it is the only one this morning if we are serious about trying to get a hold of what is an absolute nightmare of a challenge. It is the tough medicine that we need to solve a problem that we do not want. And with that, let us take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. You are going to hear from the good folks at Jace Medical and Factor Meals this morning. Gosh, great companies. I am so proud to support them. I hope you can too. We'll be right back. Over the past few weeks, you all know that I got the stinking cold, then I got a sinus infection. But as I did, I was at peace because I knew I had antibiotics at the ready from JaceMedical.com. All I had to do was have a quick phone call with my doctor. I got the green light to use them, and that was it. There was no pulling myself out of bed, driving to the pharmacy, hoping it was ready. I was ready at home. And that's why I love Jace Medical. They provide you all kinds of prescription medications delivered right to your door. And it's so easy. Just go to jacemedical.com, fill out a very simple online form, and in no time flat, you will get your medications. In some cases, you'll have a quick phone call with one of their board-certified physicians to make sure you are getting exactly what you need. But regardless, it is a great service. So go to jacemedical.com, that's J-A-S-E medical.com, and you will enter a promo code, of course it is right, at checkout, and you are going to get a great discount when you do. Again, folks, that's promo code right at J-A-S-E medical.com, and do this today, because there is no telling what tomorrow might bring. Well, good morning. Are you eating your factormeals.com breakfast? Well, for Pete's sake, why not? Factor is the best meal delivery company in America, especially for busy or retired people. So here's why I think so. First, it's just the taste. The food is delivered fresh to your door, never frozen. And when you taste it, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. These meals just burst with flavor. And not just for breakfast. They've got lunches, dinners too, plus cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. And that is the second reason for why I love Factor Meals. They've got variety, woo, more than 35 different meal options to choose from. So folks, get Factor Meals today at 50% off. Go to factormeals.com/right50, that's W-R-I-G-H-T 50, and get 50% off. Again, that is promo code right50 at factormeals.com/right50 and get your 50% off. And as you do, remember that you are getting a meal service that is good for your body, great for your taste buds, and I promise you are going to love it. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a pivot towards international news. And folks, you may want to grab your maps, whether that be on your phones, computers, or in your minds. Come with me to the Philippines this morning, where the Chinese government is being accused of recruiting some sleeper cells in that country for espionage or sabotage. On Monday, the government in Manila accused Beijing of running a recruitment scheme in that country, placing some help wanted ads that were asking people to apply for researcher roles. The applicants were asked to write weekly reports on various Philippine military subjects using at least 1 year's worth of experience that they got while working with the Philippine Armed Forces or the government. The ads were apparently placed by a group of Chinese nationals who have a special visa to the Philippines. Now, it was designed for retired people all around the world to come or go to the Philippines to spend their golden years in that country. But Beijing is allegedly using that visa program to send in their older spies and saboteurs to recruit others. In fact, four of them were recently arrested and returned to China. For what it's worth, the Communist Party denies all of those accusations, calls them simply malicious and groundless. With those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. Well, as we have seen in the U.S., the Chinese are very good at using a very old motivation to get people to spy, and that is greed. In fact, about a month ago, a U.S. Army intel analyst was arrested after he collected about $40,000 from China. He worked at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, and he did it in part because he said he wanted to buy a second BMW. And all he had to do, he said, was pass along some top secret information about our military or the Taiwanese military and just write some reports, as it were, just like in the Philippines. So that is why we should expect to see more of this to come, because ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you with high confidence that China has deeply infiltrated our government and our military. As ever, rooting that out is going to be really tough, but we can do it. And that is why good leadership at the FBI and the CIA and the White House is so very important. Next up, we are off to Brussels, Belgium this morning, a place known for the Grand Palace. If you've never seen that, it's gorgeous. Also, they've got some amazing chocolatiers, and also they've got some radical leftists in charge of that country shutting down free speech. That happened yesterday. As local and French media outlets like AFP reported, there is a Marxist mayor in Brussels named Emir Kier. He is a socialist, and he ordered his police to shut down a conference of European conservatives who were gathered in Brussels to rally their faithful for some upcoming elections for the EU Parliament. Those elections happen in June. Conservatives who were slated to speak at this conference included the Prime Minister of Hungary, plus some politicians from places like the UK, France, Germany, Italy, and beyond. But this socialist mayor, Mr. Kier, said no to them and the conference. He said, shut it down because, quote, I need to ensure public safety, end quote. All right, well, here's the deal there. There were protests that were scheduled for this conservative conference, but the protesters were Mr. Kier's fellow Marxists. And that is leading Europe's conservatives to slam the mayor this morning and Europe's left in general as being a bunch of communists, dictators, and tyrants. It is unclear how or if these conservatives will be able to reschedule or otherwise hold their conference in Brussels. It was slated to continue throughout this week, but that is now clearly in doubt. With those facts and data, let me now pivot to my analysis and opinion, and let's talk about why we should care. Earlier in today's episode, I noted that the United States is in the middle of a Marxist revolution, both of our culture and our politics. And again, as we've talked about for many, many months now, we see that in the form of Antifa or the Squad on Capitol Hill. We see it in the destruction of statues or the so-called patriarchy or white privilege. We have also seen it in our government with the Democrats pushing to control our speech through, you may recall, the Disinformation Governance Board. But as we are seeing this morning, and in fact, as I briefed you on previously, we are seeing the same kind of thing in Latin America and Europe. And just like in Brussels this morning, we've got this Marxist mayor who's shutting down his opposition because of what he said is political violence, but the violence is caused by his own supporters. As ever, ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry to say that you are living through history. It is a very dark moment, unfortunately, because these are Marxist rebels, and they are here to destroy in order to create their own utopia, of course. As ever, I believe it can be overcome. But boy, to do so, we are going to need to continue to talk about who these people are, where they are, and what they are doing. And that's going to be my job, to bring you that news, which some days will be good and some days won't. But nevertheless, it is a Marxist revolution, and we got to talk about it. More to come. Next up, we move on to the climate change debate about how one country's efforts to seed clouds to create more rain has ended in an absolute mess. But before we get to this news, let's refresh our memories about something called geoengineering, which is really what cloud seeding is all about. So we spoke of this concept or idea back on February 22nd, but let's do a refresh. Many climate change scientists and activists believe that we are out of time to save the planet. All the solar panels and the wind turbines and the electric vehicles won't do a thing. Instead, they argue that we have to take more drastic steps, like blocking out the sun, or tinkering with the clouds, or capturing carbon dioxide and sinking that stuff to the ocean floor. Collectively, those efforts are called geoengineering. About 20 years ago, this geoengineering idea started to gain traction amongst the climate change folk. But most in the scientific community said then as now, absolutely not, because they noted correctly that it can cause extreme and unpredictable weather changes from flash floods to droughts. But nevertheless, climate change activists continue to push this forward. They don't see any other option to save us. In fact, they have some big supporters in the White House this morning and at the United Nations. Both of those outfits have said that they are very much open to this idea of geoengineering. In fact, the UN has said that it is the only way to save the planet. All right, with that quick refresh, It takes us to the news. The city or emirate of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates caused profound flooding over the past few days with their cloud seeding operations that went awry. Bloomberg News reports that several days ago, officials in the UAE saw some storm clouds brewing, so they quickly launched their cloud seeding operations to increase the amount of rain that would drop. So the hope was that doing so would help with some local drought conditions. And so they geoengineered the clouds with some natural salts like potassium chloride. Okay, great. It worked. Well, too well. They broke a 75-year-old record with the amount of rain that they created. The streets were flooded. Local malls were awash with water. The famous Dubai airport looked like a pond. Jets looked like they were floating on a vast sea as they tried to taxi out to the runways. Flights were delayed or canceled. In neighboring countries, where, as you would imagine, the clouds eventually went to, people died. 18 in the country of Oman died from flash floods. For what it's worth, more rain is expected today. All right, with those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. Putting aside what we all think about climate change, what this news shows us is that the folks who are earnest believers in both climate change and geoengineering, along with the people who have more money than brains, especially those who live in Dubai, they don't mind killing people as they tinker with the atmosphere. And that is because these people are not the eight who died. These are elites, and they get to live in very expensive homes and their little protective bubbles. Well, unfortunately, it's going to go from bad to worse, and I want to tell you why. About 3 weeks ago, Politico magazine reported that in the United States, you only have to give 10 days notice to the U.S. government that you're going to conduct a geoengineering experiment. There is no asking for permission, based on what I understand, just a heads up that you're about to do it. And if you fail to do so 10 days in advance, well, that's okay. You just have to pay a small fine as a penalty. In other words, we've got a very permissive environment to conduct what are some very deadly weather experiments. So, unfortunately, let's put this geoengineering stuff back on our radars, ladies and gentlemen, with much more to come. And with that, we conclude this morning's episode of The Right Report. But I've got one more thing before I let you go with the good folks at American Hartford Gold and Policy Genius sponsoring this next block of news. I sure appreciate them. We'll be right back. In the coming weeks, you are likely to hear even more headlines about leaders in both the U.S. and Europe starting to seize Russian assets. They're going to do it to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke of this back in early January with the very clear effects on the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you are looking for ways to diversify your investments, and we should, consider physical gold and silver, and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel comfortable using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Just text RIGHT, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, RIGHT, to 65532. Man, that is easy. Again, that's W-R-I-G-H-T 265532. And when you do, folks, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, all depending on your total purchase. So again, give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. Folks, if you are in the market for insurance policies, whether that be life insurance or home, auto, or disability, I want to tell you about a company that I use. It's called PolicyGenius.com. They will help you find the most affordable insurance that's out there with partners like Nationwide, Prudential, and Travelers Insurance. I recently used PolicyGenius to look at life insurance policies because, well, you never know. And with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. And some insurance options offer you same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. And while that is great news, even better news from my perspective is that Policy Genius is a time saver. Their website makes it easy to compare different insurance policies of all kinds, including that life insurance, with just a few clicks of your mouse. So my bottom line is that our loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and we can give them that with things like life insurance from PolicyGenius.com. So head to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save today. Go to PolicyGenius.com. Welcome back to The Right Report with one more thing before I let you go. It's a listener question sent to us from one of my paid subscribers at rightreport.substack.com. Mr. Andrew in Bellingham, Washington wrote in, beautiful area, by the way. Brian, he said, I saw on Twitter that there is a deadly new strain of monkeypox. What do you think about that? And don't you find it just a little bit suspicious that we've got more viral outbreaks right before the election? All right, Andrew, good questions. So let's start with monkeypox, because there is breaking news on this, and it is important. But before we get to it, let's go back to my brief on December 15th when we talked about this. So we know that the monkeypox virus has long been endemic to the countries of the Congo and Cameroon, both in Africa. The virus was discovered back in the year 1970 in a young Congolese boy who probably got it after he ate some bushmeat, whether that be gorilla or monkey or whatever. But generally speaking, monkeypox has not really gotten a lot of attention over the decades because while it is deeply painful for the patients and usually very scarring to the skin, it has not been especially lethal. And that was true when we started hearing about this last summer with that monkeypox outbreak in Europe and the U.S. It was very unpleasant for the mostly gay and bisexual guys who got it, spread by sexual activity, but it was not deadly. And yet, back in December, I shared with you that Congolese health officials had found a different strain of monkeypox. It was a more deadly strain, and it was spreading in the eastern part of that country. It's called clade 1 monkeypox, and it, unfortunately, has a lethality rate of about 10%. And that is a much bigger rate and a much bigger deal than the clade 2 monkeypox, which we saw in the U.S. and Europe last year. So, Andrew, with that refresh, let's talk about the breaking news. We have reports out of the Congo that clade 1 monkeypox that we have not seen much in the West, it has a new mutation. It's called clade 1B. Congolese researchers and virologists say that the lethality rate is about the same, 10%, but it is more transmissible. In other words, it is spreading farther and faster. What we know this morning is that it is spreading out of a mining community in Congo called Kamituga, and that is deep in the jungles of eastern Congo. It is likely being spread via intimate or sexual contact amongst the miners and some local prostitutes. But unfortunately for the world, those folks are then traveling out of the Congo into the nearby countries of Rwanda and Burundi. And from there, we would expect that this virus is going to spread, again, mostly by sexual contact, into countries far beyond. And that is why there is some growing concern this morning that this has some echoes of the HIV virus, and that is actually believed to have also originated in the Congo back in the early 1900s. In fact, back then, it is believed that the miners in that area and era picked up that virus probably by eating some bushmeat and then went into the capital city of Kinshasa and spread it there, probably also by sexual activity, and from there it went onwards to Europe. So that is what I'm going to be watching for as we have this new, more lethal, more transmissible strain of monkeypox, this clade business. Now, to emphasize, folks, there is absolutely no need for panic or alarm on this, to be honest with you. This is not a respiratory virus. You cannot pick it up from breathing air or being around somebody who's coughing. You're not going to get it by touching a door handle or a toilet seat. That does not appear to be a vector for this virus or this latest mutation. But I'm going to keep you posted because this is important. Good catch, Andrew. And by the way, you asked, do I think this is a little bit suspicious about in terms of the timing in this clade? Well, look, we talked about this in December, so not really. Also, I'll tell you, I have served in this area. Having gotten malaria and other things, this part of the world is just a viral soup. And there's all kinds of nasty bugs there. So I don't think that there's anything conspiratorial going on. But I will say, based on the last 3 or 4 years, it's not necessarily a crazy idea to think that it could be possible. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.